with the thread of what everyone's been saying, John said, Charlie stole his thunder, and I'll say John stole mine. So God must be wanting to get across here. We are in John chapter 8 this morning. And this is a great text because we can learn from Jesus in the text and we can learn from sinners in the text. The Bible doesn't have to declare something to be prophetical to be prophetical. In this instance, sinners' reaction to Jesus' message is prophetical of how sinners react to Jesus' message often. There's no new thing under the sun. Sinners back then are the same as sinners now. And what this does is, when you see this, for you that are soul winners or personal workers or believe that he that winneth souls is wise, and or you're a preacher, it lets you see the response of sinners before you deal with sinners. And so when sinners now react like sinners then, instead of shaking your faith, really it builds your faith. Because you see sinners react now. If everyone that came along said, oh, you're just great, we just love you and just the way you are, and we appreciate your message and you're so awesome, you'd read this Bible and say, who are they talking about? He said, if they hate you, just remember that they hated me. We talked about all that last week. So when you see sinners today react, it doesn't shake your faith. When you see it the same in the Bible, it emboldens your faith. So you know what? This book is true. This book is true. Because I got the same response that he got. So let's look and see what happens. Here comes Jesus, and he's going to tell them the hard truth. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. All right? And we, by way of review, he says, you're a sinner. Dr. Ruckman used to say, if only I could find a sinner. Is there a sinner in the house? Number one bullet of the gospel, Christ died for our sins, okay? And I got to believe that any gospel without sin, seeing this is the gospel by which ye are saved, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, how that Christ died for our sin, then a gospel that doesn't include sin is another gospel or a false gospel. He didn't say connect to your higher power. And our God is an awesome God, and just connect and things will go good for you. No, Christ died for sinners. If you're a sinner, say amen. 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 But the gospel doesn't stop there, and Jesus didn't stop there. He always gave the solution. Look at verses 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe him, if you continue my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but don't ever forget that the gift of God is eternal life. We love out of balance. I think out of balance makes us feel superior. We got a bunch of street preachers out there telling people they're going to hell without telling them how to get to heaven. I've seen them. I mean, they got the wages of sin down. They're just omitting the gift of God. Yeah, right. Then you got the progressive Christian woke stool preachers. They got the gift of God down, but they omit that Christ died for sinners. We love out of balance. So if the gospel is that how Christ died for our sins and he was buried and that he rose again, I can only conclude that omitting any part of that is a false gospel and another gospel. Let's keep it intact. Amen? Listen, never be afraid to convey truth. This modern church has just, if we say the H word, They're not going to like it and they're not going to come. Don't ever be afraid to convey truth. Don't try to help God out. Just preach the gospel and leave the results to Him. So we end up with scores of people think they're going to heaven and they're going to hell. Jesus paid it all and Jesus told it all. And if He is the way and He is the truth and He is the life and He said the truth shall make you free, convey the whole truth and don't ever be afraid of that. So let's look at their response. We're going to start with the religious response here in verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. I go to church. I've read the Bible. I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. I remember meeting a saved Amish man one day back in the 90s. Denny Keniston was doing a work among them, and I met this guy. And he was on fire for the Lord. I said, before you got saved, what would you say if I were to ask you, how do you know you're in the graces of God? I'm an Amish man. Not. I was baptized. I was confirmed. Now, truth be told, we don't get the response, that response like we used to. Man, in the 70s and 80s, I went to Catholic Church and it was 8 o'clock, 9:30, 11, 12:30, plus 5:30 on Saturday. Every service was packed. I mean, we were little hellraisers, but all your friends that you saw in school that were Catholic, and where I went, most of them were, you saw your friends in church. People ain't going, that church is closed now. So you don't get the religious response like you used to. And I think, to be honest, in a lot of ways that's advantageous. Because you don't have to knock that wall down before you present Christ. Now let's look at the ironic response. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Did you see what they said? And we're never in bondage? These are the Jewish people. Did they really say that? Did they remember Exodus? That's the book and that's the Moses that they were banging over Jesus' head. Like give or take 400 years? How about Assyria? How about Babylon? We remember that? Remember Jeremiah, 70 years? Remember all that? How about Persia? Well, Persia, they're the ones we're learning on Wednesday night. They let them go back. Yeah, they let them go back. Luke chapter 1. Verse 71, Luke 1:71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us. Look at verse 74. And that He would grant unto us that we being delivered, I think that means being in bondage, out of the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear. They're in bondage when they're making the statement. Rome is in power. We've never been in bondage to any man. That's the irony of bondage. A man or woman in bondage rarely recognizes it. Lost or saved. But especially lost. You know what they see? You know what sinners see? They see sold out, separated, sanctified Christians as in bondage. You guys can't have any fun. Or from the saved crowd, you Baptists can't have any fun. But we are free. Here's the title of my message. I'm going to get to it before my notes say it. Somebody's pulling your strings. I'll get to that in a minute. We're free until the bondage of sin starts to squeeze the sinner. The sinner says, we're free to drink alcohol. You are not. But there's an old Chinese proverb, and there's a proverb in the book too. It says this, man take drink, drink take drink, drink take man. And here's how that works. The man takes the drink. And then the drink starts to take the drink. Because I really don't need any more. We used to put it this way. Don't pay attention. It's the bottle talking. Now the drink's taking the drink. How do you explain an NFL star that makes millions and millions of dollars knowing full well he's going to be tested for illegal drugs randomly? And he blows his testimony, and he blows his season at least, and he blows his career at most, and he takes illegal drugs. You know why? He didn't take the illegal drugs. The drink took the drugs. Because you don't get tested for alcohol. But you just get a little bit, and what did Solomon say? It's going to, Lemuel's mother, it's going to pervert judgment. So the man takes the drink, and then the drink starts taking the drink. Say what you want about wine. Could you imagine this group, especially the first generation of saved sinners, if we introduced fermented wine at our fellowships? You better head for the door, brother. I'm bad enough without it. Can I take a bunny trail here? I don't usually do this, but I like preaching on current events, and I think the new guy does too. If you blame IFB, that's Independent Fundamental Baptist, in case, for its sin and scandal, instead of blaming the sinners in IFB for its sin and scandal, just do me a favor. When you leave and you bear its dirty laundry to everyone, at least be consistent. And when you wake up to the rude awakening that your liberal, woke, progressive Christianity system has sin and scandal too, just be consistent and blame the system, not the sinner, if that's the way you think you ought to do. Can you say amen there? Because you know what you're going to find in your newfound freedom? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm getting out of here. I'm done with these saved sinners with all these rules. I'm going to go yoke up with the saved sinners that don't have no rules. That's okay. Just be consistent and blame your newfound system instead of the sinner. Man, take drink. Drink, take drink. Ultimately, drink, take man. See, because you know and I know, sitting in this room, eventually there come a day when that man may want freedom from the drink. And the drink says, no. And the drink won't let him go. And if it does let him go, he has to publicly proclaim, I am recovering. I never understood that. The Bible says such as were some of you. I mean, I got friends and family. They go to AA meetings 3 times a week for life. But I'm free. I'm telling you, the devil can't deliver. Somebody is pulling your strings. It's either going to be God or it's going to be the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me go. Man take drug, drug take drug, drug take man. Let me go! The drug says, no, I'm not letting you go. The porn says, no, I'm not letting you go. The abusive relationship, young lady, says, no, I'm not letting you go. What you thought was free, they told my daughter that when she was 13 on the street, oh, you're a virgin, don't you feel like you, little Southern Baptist girl, don't you feel like you're missing something? She said, I could have what you have in one night, you could never have what I have. We're free. No, you're not. You're not free when you're 19 years old and all your girlfriends are going out to the club and you got to get a babysitter. You thought it was free love? It ain't free love. Because now by the time you're paying child support, young man, you don't have the love or the child. I'm telling you, he can't deliver. He promises you liberty. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to bind you. Well, doesn't Christ have some standards? Doesn't Christ have some rules? Doesn't Christ have some separation? Doesn't Christ... Yeah, what I'm saying is somebody's pulling your strings. Who's it going to be? Whose puppet you going to be? I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? I'm going to get up that corporate ladder. And then I'm going to be rich and free. And lose your family and die an old man poor. You gotta get you a career, young lady. Let's face it. We get scorned. What are they gonna do after they graduate? And they try to, they approach the homeschool, whatever they call that thing, with fear and trembling. Well, I'm taking a course at the Bible College. Don't let the world convey what you gotta be.
Amen.
Listen, and I'm not even saying I'm against it. All I'm saying is, don't say someone's not pulling your strings telling you what success is. Somebody is telling you what success is. I'm going to let God determine what my success is. This law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. And you know what? That's what God calls good success. Free love, and you end up with a little baby that's going to shackle you. This transgender thing, here I go again. Brother, they're coming out now, and I don't say it in criticism as much as I say it in heartbreak. They're coming out now that had it done, that thought, I want to be free from this body I'm in because this is not what I really am. And now they're getting up before our government and saying, don't do it! Because we thought this was the answer, and it's not the answer. And now I want to nurse my baby, and I can't. And now I am mutilated. Oh, but I'm free. No, you're not. Somebody else is pulling your strings. I say, let it be God. Oh, but it's so hard. Not as hard as the way of the transgressor. That's all I'm wanting from you today is just to admit somebody's pulling my strings. And they'll look you dead in the eye like they did in John chapter 8. You go down to that city mission and say, you want to be free? And they say, we ain't bondage any man. You walk down the street in Philadelphia and San Francisco. Brother, they're dying of drugs now. They can't shoot you with Narcan and bring you back. Blinded by sin. And it doesn't matter if it's poor sin or rich sin or religious sin, which is even worse. And I know what your definition of a Pharisee is. Me. Because you have rules. Let me tell you what a Pharisee is. A Pharisee is one that says, I'm not in bondage. Listen, somebody's pulling your strings. You're somebody's puppet. It's either God or the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you say, not me, you're a Pharisee. That's free. These guys, this was religious bondage. We talked about the sin bondage. This is religious bondage. They're probably good church kids, grew up in church. And can you imagine growing up in a works religion? I know some of you, some of us did. And they mandate this, and they mandate that, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. I mean, you don't you eat no lobster bisque now, or else.
Or else what?
Or else what? Well, you're out of the graces of God. So I don't eat lobster bisque. Am I in the graces of God? Can I know I have eternal life? Well, talk about bondage. A slave and doesn't even know it. I've been in them prisons. I've been in some big prisons. Them guys are locked up in them walls and they're talking like they're gang banging out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive my sin. We watched the preseason game yesterday. In Damar Hamlin, is it? God bless him. He came brought back from life last year, remember? But they were interviewed, and my grandson counted. He said, you know what I'm saying? To the press, 46 times. I don't know if they weren't responding. Yeah, we know what you're saying. We just heard you say it. Listen, no man liveth or dieth unto himself. Someone is pulling your strings and my strings, and all I'm trying to do is say, why don't you let God pull your strings for a while? I think He's got a little bit better interest in you. I think He's proven it. And my job and His job. Now, why are we so hard on the second generation? He's up there again. Second generation. You know why? Because most of you, many of you, haven't decided who's going to pull your strings yet. And our job is to get mine for the last 30, him for the next 30, if the Lord tarry, is to convince you, let God pull your strings. Go to John 8. Let me just show you this. Listen, I've been on both sides. Learn cheap, young people. Learn cheap. And I wasn't a drunk in the gutter. I had big cars and a pretty wife and a ranch in the suburbs and a boat and a trailer and all these things. I'm telling you, it doesn't satisfy. I was promised by something out there that if you go down this road, you will be happy. And I wasn't. And didn't even realize it, Taylor. I thought, man, I'm it. But something back there was haunting me, and this is it? Watch John. I've never seen this in this verse as much as I've quoted it and preached it in 8:44. He's talking to the church kids here. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father... Say those next three words. How's that for prophecy? You know what he said? He's your father. Is it a puppeteer that holds puppets? I don't know. And you're going to do what he says. That's what Jesus said. So either Jesus says, he says, the lust of your father ye will do. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. I'm not servant to anybody. Yes, you are. If you're not saved, you're a servant to sin. And some people that are saved are servants to sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, that's the gospel, being then made free from sin. There's the one puppet. Ye became the servants of righteousness. You just went from one puppeteer to another. And I'm glad this morning my puppeteer is Jesus Christ. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. There's two sets of rules to live by. It's God's on this side, and it's the world, the flesh, and the devil on this side. And you know what? Somebody's pulling your strings. And if you say no, they're not, then you're a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. He hated the Pharisees. Ephesians 2. We'll look at one more. Ephesians 2. Those religious men that studied that book and supposedly knew that book, they thought they were, no, we've never been in bondage. And we look and say, are you serious? Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked. Look at according. That's in accord with. That's the rule. Some of you ran the Hamlin Marathon there. You had to stay on the course. According to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in. In. Do you think there's anyone possessed? According to that, everybody not saved is. The children of disobedience. Let's read on. Among whom also we had our conversation. What are you talking about? The things that you're supposed to talk about on that course. In time past, the filthy communication. Look at, in time past, in the lust of our flesh. Well, where'd that come from? That come from Jesus saying you're your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And of the mind, of our nature. Just you're naturally the children of wrath. Now let's have a little fun. I don't know when cigarettes were invented. I didn't think fast enough to Google it. But somewhere in the 30s and 40s and 50s, somebody said, I don't think it's the Rothschilds that made it up. Maybe some southern farmers in West Virginia. But they said, if you'll take this leaf that grows in the field and dry it out and wrap it in paper that doesn't, and light it on fire and suck hot smoke into your lungs, you'll be cool. And if you're really cool, you're a woman. You really want a worldly girl, boys? Just see how much that turns you on seeing a woman blow two holes of smoke out of her nose. I like them the way we raises them, amen. I'm careful here, but you know what? I've got to say stuff that's uncomfortable to say, but in this day and age, you are getting worse on Instagram. Who made the rule? Probably around the 40s or 50s, that when you recreate at a beach or a pool, you girls have to walk around in, I will call it glorified bra and underpants. Can I say that? Do you get worse than that on, did you say Etsy the other night? He said Etsy. What's Etsy? I had to look that up. That in that same likeness of garment, if you had on in your living room and someone looked in there, they go to jail for that. And yet somebody made a rule that said when you get near the pool or the beach, you got to take everything off. Who made that rule? I spend time in Florida. And I plan on spending some more of it in Florida. And we have had the pool police called on us, Amy. I'm telling you, my father-in-law had to go to bed against the pool. These people... Here's the irony. We're in an over 55 park. I would never say this. Of course, Dr. Ruckman grew up down there in Florida, and he described some things that he saw on the beach as elephants with diapers on. I would never say that. As long as I'm at it, with alligator skin. Ma'am, do you realize what you look like? I'd rather be wrinkled like an alligator than let my skin go light. I'll get to that in a minute. now that I have your attention. Overgrown men, Jason, got to be 55 and older. No, I just looked at him. Who's skinny? Zane, overgrown men. with moles that look like hairy Oreo cookies. Scars, broken blood vessels. I'm not kidding. Extruded belly buttons that look like you got a nose coming out of your stomach. Stretch marks, broken blood vessels, skin tags look like worms hanging off from underneath your arm. And I'm getting you laughing to make a point now, and something tell them when you get to that pool, buddy, you better take that shirt off. Ah! Run for your lives! What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, old man, somebody's pulling your strings. And they look at you because you want to kind of cover your nakedness. My wife had to finally quit explaining. Listen, I think bronze looks good, okay? Bronze skin. But here's what's ironic. And I asked our in-house Chinese congregant, I don't want to misquote here. In China, is bronze skin attractive? Oh no. Why not? Because in China, beauty is important. Are you saying that bronze skin is frowned upon in China? Absolutely. You see what I'm saying? Now, some of you light-skinned, did you say, maybe I should go to China, I'd do better. Listen, somebody is pulling your strings. You might as well let it be God. My wife, man, we were young, we lived in the sun. Now she looks like a Muslim next to the pool. And it's not just all for modesty, it's because she got basal cell cancer on her face. Who's pulling your strings? I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm giving you a warning. Somebody somewhere is making the rule. In the 40s and 50s, it says you have to smoke to be cool. Think about that. You're sucking the smoke and you don't even get high. Now, I know some of you that smoke. Well, Jay said, man, he was a smoker before he got saved. Oh, I still go by to just get that whiff. My dad smoked since he was 15 years old. He quit 30 years ago. I think he would have lived till he was 100. Fashions. Come on. Oh, you people are in such bondage. Could you imagine me with a perm and a mullet? Oh, wow, man. Face to face with a dog. This is as good as I can get back then with that perm. Go to the next one there, Jason. Let's see what we got. I don't know what's coming next. Oh, wow. Remember the big glasses? It started out big glasses. Who makes the rules? Then it went to reels. Dad, those glasses are too big. I said, listen, you're going to look at yourself someday and you're going to laugh at yourself. Go to the next one. Look at the lapels, man. Look at the bow tie. I was a cool fool skipping school. Yeah, and now you look like just a fool. And I'm glad you're laughing because I'm trying to make the point. Somebody's your puppeteer. Go to the next one, Charlie. You graduated in 1969. My sister's yearbook, 1969. Guys would marry someone that looked like that. My dad was the last to pass out of 11. All my aunts, man, they had bouffants till the day they died. Go to that hairdresser, tease that hair. Oh, yeah. Because here's what happens. It's really crazy. You stop at your peak of cool. Usually that's around 20. That's why you see Vietnam veterans with pork chop sideburns like this, and they really think they look like Elvis. Go to the next one, Charlie. I don't know, or Jason. Okay, here's the next big hair trend. Okay, bedhead 2.0. You ready? Go ahead. Oh wow. Now here's what's happening in the church, and it's hysterical. Because the preachers coming up in that era that were cool, that were 20 in that era, they stopped. And if you turn on CBN, the preachers got that look still. Like, bad enough I don't like it, it's out of style. What happened? Somebody's pulling your strings. Go to the next one, Charlie. I think this is the one that, or Jason, sorry. Remember he put this up the other night? Come on. You're going to tell me the guy that said, you got to buy $120 jeans with holes in them. If you say that nobody is pulling your strings, you're a Pharisee. Oh, you Baptists are in such bondage. Look at them all dressed up. Look at you. You're cookie cutter. You're cake cutter. Is there any more up there? I don't think so. Is that it, Jason? Who's pulling your strings? I don't like it the way they do it here. Okay, that's fine. But don't say that you're living and dying to yourself and no one tells me what to do and I'm getting out of here and I want liberty. You're going from the frying pan to the fire. But I just don't like this. Here's what Jesus said. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And guess what? Sad to say, the truth has some confines on the flesh. And that's where we missed it. And that's the point I'm trying to make. It's not a matter of, oh, if I just get out of this hypocritical system and go over here where everybody just loves and is loved, you're going to find that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who is really free? And that's what we've been hearing about on Wednesday nights. Inside the walls, those that are free, those are the ones that are safe. You know, well, I don't know about standards and rules. You know what Paul said about the flesh? Here's a good standard. You think our standards are high? Paul said, I die daily. Paul said this, I make no provision for the flesh. How's that standards? We're like charismatic here. Pretty biblical. And lots of extra biblical evidence. Someone is your puppeteer. And don't doubt it for one minute. They're going to tell you what you need to be successful. You're going to get your career. And really, I'm not... I'm just mad at the system. Because they say what you got to be. If you're going to be somebody, if you're going to be successful. and you're going to have a baby, and after 6 weeks, you're going to wake up, and you're going to take a shower, and say goodbye to your husband, or maybe you've already said goodbye to him, and you're going to take that six-week-old baby, and if you're in this boat, please, please, don't take offense. I'm trying to help the next generation. And you're going to run your baby to a stranger so that you can what? Be what they say you need to be. Well, you can't afford it. I afforded it on a preacher's way. And I'll show you 50 other people, lots of them that make way less than me. It depends what your priorities are. And you're going to take that little baby and drop it off to a stranger in this day and age. And you're going to go what? Probably 70% of the time you're going to work for the man. Not your husband, men, but some other man. Or worse yet, you've got to work for a woman. But you're making money and they're saying you're successful. And you missed the first step and you missed the first word. And you got to buy an extra car and you got to buy extra clothes and you got to buy extra insurance and it just does. And all I'm saying is, how are we doing? Who's going to pull your strings? You're going to do what somebody says. Why don't you get on God's side? Let's stand.